worship the way maker. We worship the way maker. Can we glorify
him? Come on, let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. He's working. Whatever you're going through right now, God's already working on it right now. He's already working. Hallelujah. He's already got the answer. The answer's on the way. Hallelujah. He's heard your prayer. He's heard your cry. God is working right now, even when I don't feel it, even when I can't see it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the miracle that's coming, God. Thank you for the healing that's coming, God. Thank you for the blessing that's coming. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just clap our hands to him again. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise God. God loves church. You ought to try to get here one Sunday before everybody else. I don't know if in COVID era they even let you in. But anyway, normal time. Get here before everybody. You can just feel the presence of God in anticipation of his people coming together to worship him. Aren't you glad you're here today? We've got an appreciation for coming together, don't we, since we haven't been able to sometimes. It's wonderful to be in the house of God, worshiping the Lord. I know everything's not perfect in your lives, but we're worshiping God anyway. Amen? Because he's worthy to be praised. Oh, praise God. What a privilege to be here today. Thank you, Brother Williford, for letting me be here and be with you all this weekend. I got to spend time with the leaders and volunteers on Friday night and Saturday. What a wonderful church. This is what God's, if you're looking for God's kingdom, don't look any further. This is it. Some people overlook the local church. They're like, well, surely God's kingdom's bigger than this. Nope. This is it. And there's other congregations like this meeting all over the world. And God sees it all together in total. And it's his kingdom. Amen. Praise God. This is God's kingdom for you and your community right now. This is how you interface with it. Right here. There's no other way. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's no other plan for saving humanity. You know, people looked at Bethlehem and they thought, this is God's plan? Carpenter's son from Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? A bunch of disciples from Galilee? Aren't all these Galileans? Yeah. Jesus chooses the weak things of the world, the humble things to confound the mighty. And this is the most powerful thing happening right now. You know, it's wonderful to go to Washington, D.C. You look at all those buildings. You look at all those. The most impressive building to me in Washington, D.C. is the old executive office building. Now, that looks like where it really happened right there. It's massive. You know, yeah. Capitol building. None of those institutions are more powerful than what you're experiencing right now. This is where God rules. This is where God rules. Hallelujah. Amen. What a privilege and joy to come to the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I have to thank you all for Brother Williford announced your Christmas for Christ offering, $46,000. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Amen. That is going to plant churches all over North America. And you're supporting men and women who go into a city that has no local church, no representation of God's kingdom. and they go in armed with not much more than themselves and your CFC offering. And they go in and they say, we're going to plant the kingdom of God in this city. And we're going to take some new territory for the kingdom of God. Amen. And you're making it possible. Amen. And we thank you for that. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to book of Hebrews. Very familiar passage. I think Hebrews chapter 11, 8 through 19. Then I'll be reading Romans 4, 18 through 21. This is one of the greatest, two of the greatest faith passages in the Bible. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city who hath foundations, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in him a figure. Romans 4, 18 through 21, who against hope, talking of Abraham again, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you today. We thank you for your character, nature. We thank you for your power, your goodness. God, I thank you for these wonderful people that are here today. God, I pray that you administer to us today. I pray that the gift of faith would flow through this building today. God, I pray that you would speak to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you today on the subject, evidential faith. You know, it's impossible to overestimate the importance of Abraham in the biblical narrative. He's the central character of the Old Testament. In as much as the Bible is history, it's the history of Abraham's descendants. God said, in Abraham I will bless all people. All families of the earth shall be blessed. And of course, Jesus Christ is that seed of Abraham that has blessed the whole world. What a privilege to know, to be the family through whom the Messiah would come. And this was Abraham's great place when the Bible is trying to talk about faith, whether it's Jesus or whether it's the Apostle Paul or whether it's James, at the end of the day, they wind up saying, have faith like Abraham. He's the father of the faithful. When you've said everything about faith, you just have to say, well, just look at Abraham and do what Abraham did, because he is the father of the faithful. I titled this message, Evidential Faith. It indicates that faith is its own evidence. We don't like that, do we? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Well, faith is not seen either. So how can something not seen be evidence for something that you can't see? Well, that's what we struggle with, isn't it? We know that we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm preaching to a church today. We know that we have to believe. You don't have to tell Christians that you need to believe. Only believe. And we know that we're supposed to see the invisible, and we're supposed to walk by faith. But the lifestyle that we live, because we are blessed and because we are Americans, we get out of practice walking by faith. In fact, most of us live most of our life without really having to walk by faith. If God doesn't come through, we'll write a check. If God doesn't come through, well, at least we got Blue Cross Blue Shield. If God doesn't come through, well, Mom and Dad will come through. Well, if God doesn't come through, the state government will come through. The federal government will come through. Huh? We, as Christians, sometimes if we're not careful, we think we've failed when we have to trust God. Well, how did I get myself in this situation to where I had, the only option I have is to wait on God? Now, that's not always true in the past, but Carla's grandfather pastored a church in Joplin, Missouri, started a church in Joplin, Missouri, still exists today, this years ago, and they had run out of money and didn't have anything to eat in the house, no money to buy anything, and they had an evangelist coming to stay with them that night. And Grandma looked at Grandpa. She said, well, what are we going to feed them? What are we going to do? He said, I'm going to the grocery store. She said, what are you going to buy groceries with? He said, I don't know. I trust God. And so he went to the grocery store, and he filled his cart up, whatever they would need to feed the evangelist, feed his family that week, and rolled those groceries right up to the counter, and guy's checking his groceries out, and the about got done, and here stepped up the manager and said, Mr. Baxter, said, you've been trading here a long time. He said, these groceries are on the house today. And here he come walking in with a load of groceries. Come on, I had an old saint tell me that story when I preached in Joplin a few years ago. They remembered it. But, you know, if we're not careful, we're like, well, what in the world did he do? Why didn't he have any money? Did he not plan well enough? Had he been squandering his money on something else? You know, I mean, we don't want to be, we celebrate that miracle. Isn't that a great story? You're going to tell that story to people before you. You'll be repeating that story. But you know, it's one thing to tell that story. It's another thing to live that story. It's another thing not to have groceries in your house when you're a man and you're supposed to be the provider. And you've obeyed God, and you're in Joplin where you're supposed to be, and there's no food. That's a story that sounds a lot better 20 years after you went through it. I I thank God for his blessings on my life. I really do. I thank God. Part of living for God is he does bring blessings. But we can forget where all those benefits come from, where all those blessings come from. And we can forget that God owns it all and he has it all. And I'm not dependent on my job or on my ability to provide or on my bank account or on the government or whatever it is, but I still need to trust God. The more mature we get sometimes, the more we think that we, the more we can rely on the blessings of God, and we can rely on the job that God's given us. You know, sometimes new converts, they come in, their life's a mess. They've lost their job because of the way they've acted. Their life's a mess. They may be looking at a prison sentence. Sin has devastated their life. And all of a sudden, they see miracles all the time. God gives them a miracle of getting them a new job. God gives them a miracle. some of the miracles they need, you know. A car, you know. And boy, they're just like, look at God. Well, for some of us, it's been a long time since we said, well, look at God. But there comes that day when God tests our faith. Abraham was a mature Christian, so to speak. Abraham had been walking with God a long time. God called Abraham. We don't know. Abraham may have been serving God since he was a teenager. We don't know how long God had been talking to Abraham. All we know, in fact, Abraham may have been the only person on earth that God was talking to or that was listening to God. Certainly the only one we know of, the only one we know of that was obeying God. And Abraham was about 75 years old. And finally God said, Abraham, your dad is dying. I want you to get away from his house. I want you to separate yourself. I'm going to show you a land. I'm going to make you a nation. I've got a plan for you, but you've got to get out of here. And Abraham said, okay, God, I'll do that. And he left his homeland. He was blessed. He left his father's house. His nephew Lot said, man, I'm going with Abraham. The hand of God, whatever's going on with Abraham, I want part of it. I want to go with him. And so Abraham, already a blessed and wealthy man from God, left Ur of the Chaldees, Lot with him. They are going to look for a city. Where are you going, Abraham? You're leaving town, but where are you going? Well, I don't really know. Well, what are you looking for? A city. Well, where is this city? Well, I don't know, but I'm looking for it. And we're going to take everybody with us. It sounds foolish to the human mind to walk by faith and not by sight. Even though we sing about it and we talk about it. Doing it's another thing. And so Lot had already been through the situation where, or sorry, Abraham had already been through the situation where Lot decided to, he could do better without him. And Abraham had the experience of standing there and saying, Lot, you take whatever you want. You take the best land. You take wherever you want to go. I'll take what's left. And so he goes to the rocky, barren Judean hillside. And I'm sure as he looked over his shoulder and Lot was going into the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, he's like, man, did I make the right choice? I thought that little kid, I thought surely he'd give me the best spot. You know, I mean, what in the world? God, why, is this the city? You know, see, you read all that stuff and you forget what it's like to walk through it. And I don't know, I'd probably been burned up for a few days about it. I'd been, but he trusted God. Trusted God. Then God says for him to circumcise his whole household. Nobody had heard of doing that before. You imagine that conversation. God said. Then Lot gets in trouble and he has to send his own personal army to rescue Lot. Here's a man whose faith was continually tested. God told him that he was going to make out of him a great nation, and he doesn't have one kid. At 89 years old, he didn't have one kid. He left when he was 75, and then 14 years later, he still doesn't have any kids. He decides God needs some help, and he has Ishmael. But God said, that's not the one. And you'd think, you know, maybe a year later he'd have the one, but no. Another 11 years. And now for 25 years, Abraham has been looking for this city. And he still doesn't even have the promised child. But Abraham believed God. The Bible says he staggered not at the promises of God. That doesn't mean that Abraham didn't have some doubts, because it's obvious he did. He lied twice because he must have doubted for a moment God's ability to take care of him. And so he must have doubted for a moment God's ability to give him that promised child through Sarah. But at the end of the day, he got back to trusting God. You are never too old or mature to have your faith tested. And Abraham passed all of these tests, and he had the promised child. And then the ultimate test of Abraham's faith came when God says to Abraham, take your son, your only son, take the source of the promise. And offer him up as a sacrifice. This wasn't unheard of in Abraham's time. It was quite customary for these Canaanite tribes to offer up human sacrifice to their gods and their firstborn. And it must have been quite a shock to Abraham. But Abraham believed God. Somewhere in Abraham, his trust in the character and the nature of God never wavered. And the Bible says that he believed that God was even able to raise him from the dead. And so Isaac was a son of his old age. It was more like his grandson. This was the promised child he had waited so long for. And he has wood, and he has fire, he has a knife. And they're walking up the hill. And Abraham is prepared in his own mind to plunge the knife into the heart of his living child, because God said, do it. All the while believing that God was going to work it out and the promise was going to be intact. Everything was going to be okay. He didn't know how God was going to do it, but he believed that God was even able to raise him from the dead. Nothing about his circumstances gave him any encouragement or hope. Abraham had faith. And God said, now I know that you will withhold nothing from me. I'm here to tell you today, your faith is going to be tested. Because faith is the whole ball game. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't please God by working hard enough for Him. You can't please God by giving Him enough money. You can't please God by living holy enough. You can't please God with anything but faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The reason we live holy is because we believe what God said. The reason we work for God, because we believe in His work. The reason we
pay tithes or do whatever we do is because we believe God's word. It's all about faith. If you're doing it for any other motive, you're going to be sorely disappointed because it's all about faith. In fact, the Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin.
So we trust God. Your faith is going to be tested because God wants you to be saved. We need to follow Abraham's example. We need to believe that God can do the impossible and nothing is too hard for God. Oh, sometimes we don't mean it like this, but it's almost like we say, well, you know, God, I guess you're not, I guess you can't do this. I'll take over now. That's what Abraham did when he had Ishmael. Well, God, maybe. And sometimes it's not even that you don't. It's never that you think God can't do it, but your actions, see, your actions belie what you think. And when you decide to push God to the side and do it yourself, it reveals the state of your heart. And what that should cause us to do is say, oh God, help me believe. How silly is it for us to decide that we can do it better than God anyway? You've got to believe God can do that. Do you believe he made the world? Do you believe he spoke it into existence? Oh, how do you know that? You don't know that. It's by faith. By faith, we know that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You better believe God can do anything. He made this body. He can fix it anytime he wants it. He can even raise it from the dead. We need to believe and be willingly obedient to God. To be willing to leave everything like Abraham did. To depart from everything that's comfortable, everything that's familiar. We need to trust God for guidance and direction in leading us into uncharted territory. Oh, boy, we don't like it when God leads us into uncharted territory, do we? We want him to tell us. We'll go anywhere God wants us to as long as he'll tell us beforehand how it's going to work out. Just tell God, I'll do it. Just tell me how it's going to work out. And how are you going to, all these obstacles, how are you going to solve them? Give me your plan, and I'll be ready to go. That's never worked very well for me. And God just kind of shuts up at that point. And he's like, I'll be back. And so we feel like failures when we're having to walk by faith. And we should feel so thankful for this opportunity that God has given me to test my faith. Thank you, Lord. That's why James said, count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience or endurance. And let that endurance have its perfect work, and you will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The process of perfection comes through the testing of your faith. We wouldn't be reading about Abraham today if he would have refused to offer Isaac. Abraham had to deal with this. I want you to rethink this story. I want you to put yourself in Abraham's shoes when he has that beloved son walking up that mountain. And the young man says, Dad, I see the fire. I see the wood, but where's the sacrifice? What would you felt when Isaac said that? But Abraham's faith in what God could do and who God was and his nature and character allowed him to override his fear, his emotional reaction. And he said, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to trust God no matter what. For Abraham, it could have been about the blessing. And I know God has the ability to look and see the heart of man. And don't ask me to explain all the actions of God. But God has to have that on display. Maybe he knew what was in the heart of Abraham. Maybe God knew how it was all going to turn out. But we believe in free will of man. We don't believe God just pre-planned everything and we're all just here. And we don't believe in fatalism. We don't believe in predestination. We believe that it really is a tug of war between our will and God's will. And we do have the ability to say no. And we do have the ability to say yes. And that's what God wants. And that's the tension we live in. And sometimes we need to know what we're made of. Americanitis. Bottom line, profit is our value. I'll sacrifice as long as I can be assured of some benefit in the future. What if God asks you to sacrifice and he doesn't give you any benefit in the present, and your benefit is when you get to heaven? These all died in faith, having not received the promise. Abraham never did see that glorious city. Abraham dwelt in a tent his whole life. He never did get to see Solomon's temple. He never did get to see the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. He died in a tent. But he believed God. He believed God. Can you assure other people in the middle of your storm? Here Abraham is going through the greatest storm of his life. And he's comforting Isaac. God's going to make a way. God will provide a sacrifice. Don't worry about it, son. God's going to take you through a trial. Some of you are going through a trial. We got to trust and believe in the character and nature of God. I told the story this morning about my father. My father, wonderful Christian, in church his whole life, raised me in church. There was never any doubt about what we were doing on Sunday and on Wednesday. Daddy was a printer. He was on his feet a lot, most all day. My mother was a bank teller, but we were going to be in church. Don't come with no excuse for no homework not being done on Wednesday, and you need to stay home and do homework. No, you just got an F and a spanking. So, but we was going to church. And so my dad's dad died when he was 10 years old. His dad was in church. And he had a brother, Uncle Charles, that was my grandfather passed away. Uncle Charles was 20. My dad was 10. And so Uncle Charles became a father figure to my father. And my dad loved Uncle Charles. And anytime something would happen in our house, something would break or something, I'm going to call Charles. Any question Dad had, I'm going to call Charles. Uncle Charles, I grew up thinking Uncle Charles had to answer to all life's problems because he was the go-to guy. And so one day Uncle Charles was driving to work and something happened. He became totally disoriented. He's pulled over the side of the road, didn't know he was in the world hardly. His son happened to come by and see his truck parked there, and so he took him to the hospital, and Uncle Charles was diagnosed with a brain tumor, stage 4, only had weeks to live. Well, my dad was not a demonstrative Christian. He was a faithful Christian. He wasn't prone to running around the church or demonstrative worship, but he was faithful. But all of a sudden, something kicked in. My dad decided he was going to believe God enough that Uncle Charles was going to be healed. And so he began to verbally profess God was going to heal Uncle Charles. He believed it. He was trying to get everybody else to believe it. And he printed up invitations for a celebration of the healing of Charles Sistrunk at a date to be determined. That was big for my dad. My dad just didn't. But he was believing God for his brother. And they were at my house in Michigan when I got the call from Brother Kraft. He said, Scott, Charles just passed away. And I had to tell my dad that his brother had just passed away. He was devastated. He couldn't figure out why God would not heal his brother. I remember him saying, God healed Wendell Price of cancer. Why wouldn't he heal Charles? And what was I going to say? My 22-year-old self, I didn't know what to say to him, didn't have the answer. But you know, I don't know what happened. Maybe by the time he got back to Jackson, I don't know if it took a few more days, but I'm going to tell you, the next Sunday rolled around. My dad was sitting in church, and somehow he found the strength to raise his hands again and to worship God in spite of his disappointment. Somewhere, his feet landed on a solid bedrock of faith. God made the world. God created me. God is just. God is love. God is holy. And I can't let go of that, or the whole world falls apart. The whole world comes apart if I depart from that fundamental faith. I've got to believe God. It's easier said than done sometimes. God's nature is not to be questioned. You can question his actions. You can not understand what he's doing. But James said, let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from God. A request of God must be made in faith. And this can be understood to mean that it's up to you to convince yourself that God will give them what they want if they somehow expunge all traces of uncertainty from our minds. But this self-hypnosis is not what James is talking about here. The faith required for asking is trust in the character and promises of God. The doubting of which James is speaking about is not uncertainty about whether or not something is God's will. It's not about doubt about one's worthiness, but a wavering commitment to God. The doubting of God's character. Listen, quit letting the devil torment you because you've got some questions or doubt that you don't believe God. The very fact that you're in this building today with all the junk that's going on in your life, that's faith. That's like Abraham. You walked even though you couldn't see. You're here even though you don't know why God's doing what he's doing or why God's not doing what he's doing. You're here and you came and you drove and you worship. But that's the faith of Abraham. And God
is testing you right now. But you know what? You're passing the test because you're not doubting the nature and the character of God. You keep on believing. You keep on trusting. You keep on worshiping. You keep on walking because you know that in the end, God is going to be justified.
No, it may take a while. Musicians can come. I'm closing. I don't know. I'm preaching this different than I did this morning. I want to tell you one more story. This is a terrible story. I don't tell it very often because it's horrific. Lady, I got a call from a lady. She was terribly distraught. She was trying. It was the Saturday before Mother's Day, and she was trying to get all of her kids to church so that she could get the prize for having the most kids at church, grandkids. She had taken her 2-year-old and her 4-year-old grandchildren to the store to buy them clothes. Her kids weren't in church, and they didn't have any church clothes. And so they'd been shopping, bought outfits for Mother's Day, and were unloading them from the trunk of the car, and a man driving down the street had an epileptic seizure, run up on the sidewalk, and run over her 2 grandchildren. And by the time I got to the hospital, the 4-year-old was dead. And they were talking to them. I'm sitting in the room talking to them about donating this kid's organs. And her children were not in church, and they were in gangs, and they had their gang colors on, and they were looking for this guy that ran up. They were going to kill him. They were in the grandmother was praying, and the kids were in the waiting room plotting the murder of this guy who had run up on the sidewalk. It was a horrific scene. And while we're talking about donating the organs of the 4-year-old, in walks a doctor and told us the 2-year-old was dead too. And that grandmother wailed. And she looked at me and she said, "Brother Sistrunk, I want him dead too." And I just held her. I didn't know what to say. But I felt it. While she was sinking, I don't know what happened, but somewhere her feet touched bottom. Her feet touched the bottom of bedrock faith. I don't know how she did it. I don't know what I would have done in the circumstance. My faith has not been tested like that. But I watched this grandmother hit bottom. And I watched her start coming up. And I watched as she stood in front of that casket and comforted everybody else coming by those 2 little bitty caskets, praying for her family. Somewhere she realized, I don't know what this is about, but it's not making me doubt God's character and God's nature and God's power and God's ability. I still trust God. We have this hope. It's going to be okay one day. I'm going to know, maybe, why my father-in-law passed away at the prime of his ministry. Sister Williver, I'm going to know why God took Brother Roy Barnhill, a man I leaned on for North American Mission. I don't like it. If God would have asked me, I would have told him, no, don't do it. But I trust him. Now I'm going to praise him. I'm going to be at church next Sunday too, Sister Williver. We're here today. We're going to be here next Sunday. And I know it was the same for your family, but the Sunday after we buried my father-in-law, they roped up a whole section It was Sunday before we buried my father-in-law. They wrote up a whole section because he passed away. I forget what day of the week was that. That was on a Tuesday. We made the funeral arrangements. We did all the things we had to do, and we were all in church on Sunday, worshiping God in our tears, not knowing but trusting. Oh, God's talking to somebody today. You haven't done anything wrong because you're having to walk by faith. You haven't done anything wrong because you don't know what the answer is. You haven't done anything wrong because you've lost your job. You haven't done anything wrong because somebody in your family's got cancer. You haven't done anything wrong. You're just walking by faith right now. And it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Because God's able to even raise him from the dead. God's able to take this situation. No matter what it looks like today, God is able to take it and make all things new. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand today. Come on, somebody just needs to worship God in the middle of your trial, in the middle of your test. Oh, you're not going to see it. You're not going to know it. But your faith is the evidence. The evidence. It's going to be okay. Oh, God. God's going to meet that need. God's going to take care of your family. It's going to be all right. Oh, all things work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to his purpose. Not all things are good that happen to us, but all things work for good. God is somehow going to take all this ugliness and he's going to turn it for your good. I don't know how he's going to do it. You may not know how he's going to do it. It may look imp- he may have to raise somebody from the dead. But he can do it. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our voices to the Lord right now. Ye kayala boshataya mahai. Ye kayala mahasataya mahai. Oh, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He can make heaven and earth. He can solve your situation. You keep walking with him today. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, make this place an altar. Make this whole building an altar. If you feel comfortable, come up to the front. Every step you take by faith with your hands lifted. God, I trust you. I believe in you. I trust you. I believe in you, God. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Come on, that's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Come on, find somebody to pray with. Oh, let's encourage one another this morning to believe God, to trust God. Oh, we made heaven and earth.
This is our reward.
Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, that's it. That's it. Oh, I will worship you, God. I will worship you, God. No matter what, God, I believe you. I trust you, God. In the midst of my confusion, I trust you. I believe you. I believe you. I believe you, God. Oh, let's worship him. Thank you.
Faithfulness is our reward. We still believe. Our hearts, your faithfulness is our reward.
Looking across a room, a lot of people who have continued to trust in God despite what you have faced. We did this early this morning in our first service, but I just feel to take it a step further. If you feel like your faith is being tested today and you'd like the strength and the help of God, I wonder if just as a sign of your faith, we'll do this carefully, but just step out of where you are. And I'm just, again, just specifically felt this just to show that I'm going to take a step of faith. And I'm going to put action behind my prayer. If you just go and find a place near the edge of the aisle, and this church family is going to pray for you and uplift you, just take a step and an action of faith. We've got several already stepping. Their faith is being tested right now. But God, they're letting God see, I still have faith and I still trust in you. No matter what I'm facing, I still trust in you. We're going to sing this again. And we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. And God's going to strengthen. And God's just coming alongside. And the nature of our Heavenly Father, we can see it throughout the room. Oh God, you see this step of faith. You see every heart behind it. And right now we're asking for your help and your strength. You're going to honor this faith. You're going to honor these steps of faith, Lord. We still don't understand. We still don't understand. But we trust you. We trust you. Sees that faith, my man. God sees that faith, young adult, young lady, young man. God sees that.
We still believe.
That faith is not in vain.
We still believe. Surrendering our hearts, your faithfulness is our reward. We still believe. We still.
Continue on. We're just going to let the Holy Ghost move here this morning. We We've got families that have needed strength and needed help. We're going to let this just continue to be an altar service today. Would you just be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and reach over, and if you feel comfortable and can do it safely, lay your hand on a brother or sister and we're going to pray. Oh God, strengthen our family. Strengthen our church, Lord. Strengthen those who are walking through a test and walking through a trial. I just feel a praise rising in the room right now. Before I even picked up the mic, there were some already started. Oh, we've got every reason and right to praise Him right now. Oh, it's just something about faith that causes you to want to give a praise, even when it doesn't make sense. How can you stare at that diagnosis and still praise Him? I'll tell you how. It's faith. Fill the room with His praise.
Even when I can't feel your work, you never stop. You never stop. stop working. Never stop. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker. Promise who He is. Light in the darkness, my God. That is who You are.
Waymaker, say.
Waymaker, miracle worker. Promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God. That is who You are.
Oh, let's give Him a shout of victory all across the room. There's victory here. Here. There's the strength of God here. There's the King of glory here. Oh, we praise You. We praise You.
You know my name, and I know your need. Just call on my name. You will feel the pressure to try to describe to others and even to me how the situation is working and how it has affected you. But you will fall short with your words, and at times, admit even yourself, you have no words. Here's the word you need. My name, Jesus. Simply speak that name and the waters will come. Speak that name. Clouds will all of a sudden dissipate. And along with their disappearance will be the brightness and the shining of my Son that will come upon you. And it will not only brighten your pathway, but it will warm your soul. All you need is my name, because that's who and what I am, saith the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Let's use it, church. Let's use that name right now, whether it's through a praise or a prayer. Let's use that name, Jesus. We speak that name over every mountain. We speak that name over every sickness, and we glorify and exalt that name above every other name. We worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.